Good morning. Now, I want you to reach in your purses or reach in your pockets and pull something out. What do you have in your pocket? What do you have in your purse? Probably lots of things, right? But if you dig deep enough, you might find one of these little tiny copper discs, right? Well, actually, these days they're not so much copper as they are zinc and other, you know, it's an alloy. But I'd like to talk to you about the value of this thing, right? Many of us will see these laying on the ground somewhere and think, it's just a penny. I'm not going to lean over and pick that up. But some of us think, hey, if you get enough of these things, they add up, right? Well, think about it. If you got 86,400 pennies a day, what would you do with that? Now think about that. That's $864 a day. You'd be pretty well set, wouldn't you, if you had that coming in every single day. But what would you do with all that wealth? You know there are 86,400 seconds every day. And that adds up to 525,600 minutes a year. And some of us are wise with our minutes. Some of us are foolish. But every minute comes one at a time, doesn't it? But when you put them all together, they add up to quite a bit. And that's the life that God has given us. That's what He's given each of us. And we have the time that we have, and we can give that time back to Him, or we can use that time however we want to. But I want to talk to you about that time through this series we're now starting. I want to talk to you about branching out and thriving. Now, I showed this illustration in 2011, believe it or not, to the church, to the leadership, and it didn't quite take hold. But I want to try it again. Just go ahead and pop that on there. Go on to the next one. Okay? We as a church, we know this symbol, right? This logo. We have this tree, and it has a family next to it. But what does that symbolize? It symbolizes us growing, right? As God's tree, symbolically, or as His family, if you want to say that. But what do we do as church? Where do we move from A to B to C? What do we do with those minutes? Well, we take root in Christ, right? Remember, seeds are planted. That's the Word of God. We take root, and then we grow. After we've taken root, we grow. And we begin to branch out. How do we branch out? Well, we start forming pockets of people, don't we? Like attracts like. We spend time together. We do things together. And then we can thrive. What does that mean? Well, we become the salt and the light of Jesus Christ for other people. And I want to really focus on that as we go through the next several weeks. Now go to the previous slide. When you look at a tombstone, that's Mel Blanc's tombstone. When you look at a tombstone, you see all this information on a tombstone. What's the most significant thing on that entire tombstone? Can you tell me? It's that dash between the two numbers. That's your entire life, that dash. So, you know, I titled this sermon this morning, Giving God the Dash. Because that's all we get, isn't it? Is that space between those two numbers. That's all we've got. That's all God gives us. So what do we do with that, and how do we engage people in the kingdom of God? You might think, I'm not effective. I can't reach other people for Christ. You know, I think we've made this all way too hard. Because you are meant to be the Word of God. You are. What are we told in the Scriptures? God writes the Word on our hearts, doesn't He? There is something supernatural about the Holy Spirit living out the Word of God in us. So, you know, I want to talk to you this morning about keeping an eye on the moment. Don't disregard the moment. And I want to talk to you about the power of story. Now, bear with me for a moment. And listen to this story with me, okay?
The Wonky Donkey. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey, a bee. A donkey, hee-haw, and he only had three legs. He was a wonky donkey. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey, hee-haw. He only had three legs and one eye. He was a winky wonky donkey. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey, hee-haw. He only had three legs, one eye, and he liked to listen to country music. He was a honky-tonky, winky-wonky donkey. I think I like this book better than the main. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Hee-haw! He had only three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He was quite tall and slim. He was a lanky, honky, donkey, winky, wonky donkey. Oh. After you listen to this. Oh dear. How can anybody read this seriously? I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Oh dear, I don't. Oh dear. He only had three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He's quite tall and slim. And he smelled really, really bad. Oh dear. He's a stinky, dinky, lanky, honky, donkey, winky, wonky. Ah! Oh, I have to stop looking at your bum. Oh dear. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Hee haw! He only had three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He was quite tall and slim. He smelled really, really bad. And that morning he got up early and hadn't had any coffee. He was a cranky, stinky, dinky, lanky, honky, donkey, winky, wonky, donkey. Oh, how much, Mia? I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Hee-haw. He only had three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He was quite tall and slim. He smelled really, really bad. That morning he got up early and hadn't had any coffee. And he was always getting up to mischief. He was a hanky-panky, cranky, stinky-dinky, lanky, honky-donky, winky-wonky donky. Oh, this is going to kill me. Nimia, I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Hee-haw. He only had three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He was quite tall and slim. He smelled really, really bad. That morning he got up early and hadn't had any coffee. He was always getting up to mischief, but he was quite good looking. He was a spunky, hanky-panky, cranky, stinky-dinky, lanky, honky-donky, winky-wonky-donky! Oh, I have to finish this. It's got to me. Alright. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Okay. Hee-haw! The end.
Okay. That's the Scottish grandma, if you ever want to look that up. Michael showed me that. And what pulls you into that story? Well, first of all, you have to do what? You have to listen, right? But there's just a joy about it. And I want you to think about that for a moment. But turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 with me. We'll start from verse 1. Let's talk about your story. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." In other words, Solomon says life is defined by some bookends, right? The things in between. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. There are 740,000 celebrations of a birthday every day. Think about that. In the U.S. alone, there are 6,362 people who will die on an average day. Every farmer knows that you don't mess with the cycles, right? Hey, you'll be in trouble. You won't have a good harvest. You plant, then you harvest. You sow, then you reap, right? There are some cycles in life, and Solomon is saying that our life is marked by a lot of events, a lot of different things that happen in our moments. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up. Chuck Swindoll says, our world seems to live strangely fixed between a battlefield and a first aid station. Isn't that true? You don't have to watch the news for very long to recognize that there is loss of life occurring on every single day, every page of our stories. Someone is hurting out there somewhere. And Solomon say there's lots of ways that those moments get spent. Lots of ways. There are a lot of activities that happen in the ebb and flow of life as it goes on. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. We all recognize that life has its ups and its downs. One moment we are in great joy and another moment our hearts are breaking for some reason. Life is a piling up of those moments. Verse 5, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Solomon is saying to keep your eyes on the moments, because every moment will bring something different. So be prepared for the ebb and flow of life, because you never know what it's going to bring you. But are you living in that moment for God? Are you fully invested in the moments? What could happen right now for God, for His glory, and for His kingdom? God is inviting you to live your story in a way that is paying attention to the moments, the right now. And remember what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Amen? They are evil. Now, there are good things that happen among the evil. But Paul says, live for the moment for God, because things need to change, and Christ's glory needs to shine. So as you go through life, as you live, as you walk forward, watch what you're doing with those moments. Pay attention, because you get, remember, 625,600,000 moments a year to give to God or to spend however you want. Well, I want to talk to you about life. So I'm going to use an acrostic here, L-I-F-E. First of all, let's talk about L, your loves. The things you really care about. What are those? Somehow we think that the only way we are really serving God is if we sign up for something at the church. But maybe your passion is coaching kids in sports or tutoring or something else. Can you influence people for God in those moments? Of course we can. In fact, the church is not limited to 1 hour every Sunday. The church is a powerful movement, a powerful group of people, and it's meant to be organic. In other words, takes root in other lives everywhere we go. So what I want to help you see is There may be ways that your loves, the things that you love, can be used to make a difference in our community and somebody else's story. So what are you passionate about? What do you love? What do you like doing? What do you really care about? Because your life contains the next letter, I, intersections. The opportunities that come our way. Those God moments that God gives us. All week, every week, you are going across other paths, aren't you? You are intersecting with other lives. And those are opportunities that God puts in our lives. Maybe at work or in your neighborhood, maybe your next door neighbor, maybe at school, somewhere we all intersect with other lives. So all around us, if we open our eyes, there are people with needs. And are our hearts sensitive or callous to those needs? Are we paying attention to the intersections and how God can magnify the results if we just show a little grace? The next letter of life, F, our fortunes. Not just our finances, that's not what I mean, but all of our resources, everything that we are. Our time, our talents, all the things that are at our disposal. What I hope you discover over the next few weeks as we talk is how you can get engaged in life using what you already have. Change your community. How can you get engaged in some place and serve? And maybe that word serve scares people, but it shouldn't. Because it's not all organized. It's not all written on a piece of paper at church for you to sign up for. It's living life for God at those intersections. Your life is a part of God's story because we are living already in Christ for, the next letter is, eternity. Folks, we're already living for eternity if we are saved in Christ. So ultimately, God is writing a much bigger story, isn't he, that endures and goes on and on. So our little dash, that little symbol that shows our lives actually is part of his bigger plan. Wrap your mind around that. We are being written into God's story every day. Our little collection of moments, however long they may appear to us, are pretty brief, you would think, in light of eternity. But to God, they are significant. They are important. And he's working through us to write that beautiful story. We love the verses, and I've mentioned them several times over the past 2 weeks. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Because they talk about God's grace. We love to hear about grace, because grace gives us such hope. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved. Through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." God is wise, isn't he? We love that. Grace is a gift. If you're accepted in Christ, you've discovered grace. If you experience his forgiveness and found the freedom that comes from him, well, that's his gift to you, and it's a wonderful gift. But if Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 are true, well then, verse 10 is also true, isn't it? It says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's why we're here. That's why we are a church. Not just to be saved, but to serve. And God has prepared these things for us to do in advance. God knows where those intersections are. He already knows. If you're a believer, well then God has some things prepared already for you to do. Still, no matter where you are in that little dash, he still has stuff for you to do. And there is some way that God's story is going to be written through your story. Together. We are co-authors with God as our story proceeds. And God says, "I will use your good and your bad experiences." Isn't that awesome? God uses our good and our bad experiences, our good moments and our weak moments. He uses it all because He's God. So the things that you have already seen and the things that you care about doing, the intersections that happen, that come your way, the resources at your disposal, and the fact that you're living for eternity. God takes all of that and writes it together as your story. That's your life. And that's God's gift to you. And many people are tempted to think that my life doesn't amount to much. Or why do I even live? Why do I bother? I tell you what, God made you for a very special reason. There's a reason why we live right now and not 100 years ago. We're being written into God's story. And Ecclesiastes 3:10 says, He, meaning God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He is making you beautiful. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. That is one of the most remarkable gifts God has given us. He knew He needed to do that. Because when He put eternity in our hearts, that prompted us to look for it. Now think about it. How much of medicine, science, literature is devoted to trying to outwit death? We want to live. God put eternity in our hearts. God supernaturally put His stamp on us that says, you should live. And you should live gloriously. But Solomon says, yet they, meaning all of us, cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. It's a mystery to us. It's above and beyond us. How does God do all that God does? We can't figure it all out. It's a mystery. God's perspective is a longer view, a bigger view, a greater view of all of this for all time. God makes everything beautiful in its time. Remember, there's an end to this story, and it's a good ending. Good can come out of bad. Good might take some disappointment from the past, which we love to focus on, and find a way for us to turn it into something good, to write it into someone else's story. Everything can be beautiful in its time through Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Your story matters so much in the grand scope of what God is doing. God wrote eternity in our hearts. Some people have said, well, there's a God-shaped vacuum within us that God needs to fill. Well, when you look at the bigger story, the longing for something beyond ourselves, God invites us to look at that second vacuum within us, and that's service, giving back to God. We take God into ourselves when we accept Christ, and then God, more than anything, wants to go out of us into someone else's story. So, you know, you'll be presented again and again with this goofy illustration, right? That's our logo, again. A church is supposed to grow. The seed, that's the Word of God, takes root. And then it branches out. And it's supposed to thrive. Remember what Jesus said? That yield can be multiplied by God. Huge yields. When God's in the middle of our story. So you look at that next picture. Whenever you see that, I want you to notice the movement. We're supposed to be moving from point A to point B to point C. We're always supposed to be moving forward for the kingdom of God, to produce good fruit, to do great things for Christ. We're all called to do that. We read it in the Word, and sometimes we think, well, but how? God meets us at the intersections. We just got to look for Him. In fact, get up every day and say, God, show me the intersections, because I'm a little blind sometimes. Life's worries and life's troubles blind me to those intersections. Lord, would you just show me where they are? And I'll be faithful. I'll obey. we serve together also as a church. And I'm going to be talking to you about maybe a different kind of small group than what you've ever heard of. Because I want you to be God's word and change the community. I believe God is going to use us in powerful ways in the future. I do. We're His church, and there's no way that a church can live and not serve the living God. We have to. We have to. That's why we exist. And we're meant to transform this world. And so, as we go through this series, not only to remind us of who we are and what we are about, but to find a way for His story to continue to be written through our community. We are so much, and we haven't even begun to tap into the resources God has given us. So what do you want written on your tombstone? God's writing it now. And by the way, we are all wonky donkeys. Some of us are missing a leg or an eye. Some of us stink. You get my meaning, right? We're a mess. We are a hot mess. But remember, God uses our good moments and our weaknesses to proclaim His glory. Remember what Paul said? When I am weak, God is strong. And who do we want people to see? Us or God? So we need to quit focusing on our inadequacies and instead focus on our Savior, who is greater than our weaknesses. God's writing His story through you so that your story will influence another story. And God uses wonky donkeys to write that story. Would you please stand with me and let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your great and tremendous grace for us. But Lord, more than just the grace, what You give us and what we can give back, that's what we need to remember. Our stories matter. You're writing Your story through our story. And You want us to really realize the potential of that story. God, please, if any do not have Christ written into their story yet, we pray that they would do that today. To confess Him as Savior, to be immersed with Him in His death and resurrection, to come to real life, abundant life. Lord, we pray that. But Lord, as we go out, also open our eyes to the potential of others in our intersections who need that, who need Jesus. Write Your story through our story into someone else's story. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.